Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Great people of God, God's creation, God's love, God's people, God's sons and daughters and heirs. I mean, I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for you as well. Well, we're going to start off with I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us, and then I'll come back, and although Minister Sheila is going to pray, I'm going to share a prayer as well that's going to deal more with the message and the state of what I'm going to be talking about is in. Minister Sheila, are you available for prayer?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Apostle-elect. Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, I'm going to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to thank you. And thank you and thank you. And yet it's still not enough time to thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, not only thank you for myself, but thank you for the worldwide that you have given life to this morning. Because yet so many of us did not make the life. Lord, I thank you and I ask you to bless this world, to bless the world with this evilness, this hatred, this ugliness that's going around on mainly minorities. Lord, I ask you to bless us and lift this hatred and this ugliness up off the minority, the black men, the Hispanic men, what as they call it, the lower class of the abuse, the mistreatment, the misusefulness that the law and the government is putting on to the people. Lord, we need your help. We need you to bless us and lift us up out of this ugliness, this hatred that this devil demon hatred is going on. Lord, trying to remove all your sons and daughters from this earth that you have given life to. Lord, we need you. We need you more and more. I ask you and I thank you and I thank you for blessing us all for the life that you have given us all, the ones I know and I don't know, family, neighbors, work people, every living thing on this earth. Lord, I thank you. And I thank you for my sisters, my brothers, my sons, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandson, my neighbors. I thank you for the people I know, my bloodline and my spiritual line people, just everyone. Lord, I thank you. And I ask you to help us and take us through this coronavirus, this COVID-19 that's going through that so many is saying is so much is that it's a man-made virus that then got out of hand. Lord, just trying to kill off your people, Lord, trying to kill off people so they can control us, Lord. We only want to be under your control. We only want you to control us and to lead us because we know it is a better way, the right way, and it's a better outcome. Lord, we need your help. We need you to bless us and show us the way, to wake us up in the morning and show us and tell us which way to go, what to do, and how to do it. God, we thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for yet we are here. And to bless the families of the ones that have been lost through normal death, wrongful death, or however the family member passed, Lord, take them through it and let them know through you, you can solve and ease all their pains. You can show them how to live a life without their missing member. Lord, we need you, and we need you to bless us. Lord, I want to thank you, and I thank you, and yet, like I said, it's not enough time for me to thank you for your what you're worth, Lord, because I know without you, I am nothing. I am worth nothing. We are worth nothing, Lord. We need your help. We need your blessings and to show us all, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for waking us up for to bless this government, to get the corruption out and put the righteousness in, to bless this law enforcement to get this ugly mistreatment, duties that they call duties that are non-duty, is non-related to their job, Lord. They just misuse people because of their job. But Lord, we need you to send the right angels to them, the right ones, to let them know to correct what they're doing, to do it the right way, and to mistreat upon the people that they have done to, that they should stop. And we don't need the ugliness, Lord. We need to beautify the world that you gave us that is beautiful. Just need the ugliness wiped away. And Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Back to you, Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser.
Thank you, Minister Sheila. I thank you, and I appreciate God for you, for your prayer, and for your faithfulness to Smile Through Eve Ministries, and for you just obeying God. It's an honor to be able to pray for God, to be an intercessor, to be a prayer warrior, to be someone that God has given authority to pray. And so I thank God once again for you. Whether it's on a Sunday, a Monday, or a Friday, or any other day that we're about to do ministry. I'm going to start off with a quick song. I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I just need to sing that one more time. I need thee. Oh, Lord. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need for you all to understand how much I've needed God all of my life. And so before I get into the transparency of what God has given me, that it's going to be about his word, but it's also going to be about me as a child and me growing up and things of that sort. So let me first start off with prayer. Father God, I glorify you and I magnify you. I agree with everything that Minister Sheila has already prayed. God, we understand that the chemical and biological warfare that has been released upon your people through COVID-19 or even the nosocomial infections that have caused your people to have prolonged illnesses and diseases, we ask you to heal, to deliver, to protect, to cover. God, to even heal us from the disease and the dis-ease of hatred and the abuse of authority and power. Father God, teach us how to be patient with you, meaning that your timing is not our time, and that we need to know that your timing is perfect. And that your timing is that for which you give us time to learn how to obey you instantaneously and absolutely. And not something that we hem and haw about and not something that we complain about, God, but we do it. Even in the midst of dealing with white privilege, even in the midst with dealing with income disparities, even in the midst of not understanding the sexism and the evil practices of institutionalized and systemic nepotism and racism and prejudice entitlement and dishonor and discrimination and unmerited favor and the over 400 years of disproportional treatment and the jealousy and envy and strife that we dealt with family and friends and so-called neighbors. But God, teach us that how you will use all of those economic disparities and those racial profiling incidents and all of the things that we dealt with and are dealing with and things that promote manipulation and suppression and oppression, that God, you will teach us how to use them to be better people, to be united, God. Teach us how to be people that are united, united based off of our skin color, united based off of our economic status, united based off of our loved ones and our family members, united based off of everything that we've had to deal with, but we can learn how to deal with it together. God, when there was a black Wall Street, it was because they were united. God, when there was Black Panthers, it was because they were united. God, when Martin Luther King marched with those that marched with him of different races and different colors, it's because they were united. God, teach us how to allow you to bind us and to loose us to, in a way that we will be bound together in love, but we will loose the hatred that many of us want us to walk in, whether it's because of the police abusing their authority or the women disrespecting the men or the men disrespecting the women. God, teach us how not to have that plantation mentality or that tribal war mentality that causes us to victimize one another, that causes us to stand on the neck or the head of someone, that causes us to be with our knee on the neck or the head of someone, that causes us to want to kill someone, that causes us to want to drown or suffocate someone. God, teach us that we all have red blood and that red blood has redeemed us. Jesus, we thank you for being our Redeemer. Jesus, we thank you for being our Messiah. Jesus, we thank you. 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 Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. Color, whether you're Hispanic, African American, Asian, Native American, whatever your race is, we thank God for you. We thank God for you, and we ask that we would unite in love, God's unconditional love, no matter what your religion is, no matter what your beliefs are. We need to come together and believe in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We need to believe in Jesus, who has been our propitiation. We need to believe in Jesus, who was also misunderstood, and they tried to misuse him, but they ended up nailing him to the cross for our redemption. And we thank you, Jesus, for even all of the false evidence that they brought against you that appeared to be real, that you used it to fulfill your divine destiny. God, help us to fulfill our divine destiny no matter what happens, no matter when it happens, no matter where it happens, no matter how it happens, God. Teach us to use the various things that people use against us in retaliation, in rebellion, in witchcraft, whatever they're using, God. Teach us how to use it for your glory. For the weapons have formed, but they shall not prosper, and they shall not do anything to us that will cause us not to fulfill your destiny and your purpose that you've given us. Thank you, God, that your word shall not return unto you void. Thank you, God, that you're teaching us not to be enemies of one another, but to be friends, to be those that share agape love, to be those that obliterate and annihilate and speak out against bigotry and prejudice and racial injustice. Teach us, God, how institutionalized and systemic racism and hatred is not what you've taught us. You've taught us love, unconditional love. You've taught us honesty. You've taught us to respect one another, God. Your word in 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. Teach us, God, how to confess our sins, whether it's racism, sexism, favoritism, whatever it is. Teach us, God. Even 1 Kings 15:3 says he committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God. Teach us, God, how not to practice idolatry and have other gods, but to be devoted to you, God. Ezekiel 18:19-20 says, yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? The son has done what is just and right, and has been careful to keep all my decrees. He will surely live. And the one who sins is the one who will die. And the child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We pray your word to you, for we know that your word shall not return unto you void. So therefore it shall not return unto us void, for we stand on your word. We declare your word, and we live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, let's be a little transparent. Growing up, I dealt with my parents loving us unconditionally, and I appreciate their love for us. But in the same instance, I grew up with my aunt, what many of you may not know, saying that I was not my father's daughter. And I heard this most of my life. Even at my dad's funeral, my dad's sisters were there, and they were saying how I was my Aunt Sweetie's daughter, but I was not my father's daughter, and I was not my mother's daughter. So growing up as a child, I heard this all my life. My dad never disputed it. My mom didn't really know about it other than when I told her, Mom, why is Dad's sister saying that I'm not Dad? And so my mom would tell me to love them and to ignore them because they were disliking me because of me reminding them of her. And so as a child growing up, hearing this, every time you were around your aunts and my uncles weren't saying it, but my dad's sisters, they were. Because my dad had two sets of sisters, the ones that were from his biological mother, and then he had the ones that were from our grandma Sarah, which was from a whole nother thing of what I could call closet stuff, because it was my father's stepmother. And so growing up as a child, hearing this was very hard. Many people didn't understand the warfare that I was going through, even as a child, both spiritually and naturally. And so many of my relatives don't even realize the things that I went through with identity. So there's identity crises that are caused by adults. And it may not be your parents. There are insecurities that you can have in your life that are caused by adults. The hatred or the jealousy or the envious heart or the covetousness of adults. And so then whether you have siblings that love on you, like my sister, Minister Sylvia, as you know, she always talks about how she was assigned to protect me. Well, the honest truth is she was, because she would hear the same things that I would hear. And I would say, Renee, why are they saying to me I'm not dad's? I mean, I was like, why are they saying I'm my sweeties? I had no problem with being my aunt sweeties if I was, because I loved her dearly. But it was just the hatred and the way, not necessarily what it was said, because it wasn't said in a joking manner. And so we have to be careful with the things that we hear. So that's just some of the verbal things that I went through. Like they say, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. The devil is a liar. Yes, they do. Words do hurt, especially when they come from loved ones. And so because these particular aunts wouldn't accept me, and my grandma would actually whip me with switches and different things of that sort, which is a whole nother story as well, because of their hatred for me. They didn't have it for my sister Sheila and my sister Sylvia the way they had it for me, because I was light-skinned. So that's a whole nother message as well. And so one of the things that blessed me was, as my mother would just tell me to love them, to love them, to love them, I really loved them. The very people that were being verbally abusive to me, I actually loved them. And so then on my father's deathbed, I'm fast-forwarding, he was allowed to come clean. So many of you may not know, but last week I taught on Hosea and Gomer. You know, Gomer was the prostitute that kept going out cheating on her husband. Well, my father kept going out cheating on my mom. And so there were times where he could have come clean and let everybody know, I have these children, blah, blah, blah. But he also wanted to protect my mom. He didn't want her to know about various things. And so on my father's deathbed, according to my sister Renee, because I was not there, it was her, my sister Minnie, and my sister Mary. Many of you may say, your sister Minnie and Mary. Yes, I had a sister, and I still do, named Minnie, and I have one named Mary. On my father's deathbed, the doctor, for some reason, allowed him to come clean, where he could tell my sisters who his children was. And so he confessed that Minnie was his daughter, who's the oldest, and Mary and my sister Renee. And then the doctor said, are you sure you don't have any other daughters? And then he declared that my sister Sheila and I were his children as well. And for some reason, the doctor asked my dad, are you sure you don't have any other kids? And my dad said, no. He said, I'm not crazy. I'm just tired of you poking and prodding on me. So my dad came clean, and he let everybody know who his children was. And then, fast forward, I'm on Facebook, and someone who claimed that she's our sister, she either called me a pregnant dog, which is the word with a D, or she was saying she was that very thing. And so then I ended up blocking her, and the reason that I blocked her was because I had to give her to God. Because as you heard, the scripture said that I'm not responsible for bearing the sins of my parents. And my parents aren't responsible for bearing my sins. So although I love this young lady, because God has taught me to love her, I understand that she's hurting and she wants to know who her father is. But my father did not come clean and announce her name. So therefore, as my sister Renee would say, Minister Sylvia, we need a Dana. We need a Dana intervention, and that's another word for DNA. We would need to have DNA prove that she's our sisters, because many of us have family secrets that need to come out. And my prayer is that if this is done, that she would find out that she is our sister. And the reason why is because I would not want this young lady to go all of her life thinking that my dad was her dad, to find out that he was, because then she could be scarred even more. So Minister Sylvia always says, well, the hurt is hurting, so she's going after you because she's hurting. But it's not my responsibility to clear that up. That's something that should have been done while my dad was here. But since he's gone, That means that Dana, DNA, can clear that up. And so you may be saying, why are you talking about that? Why is that a message? Because, people, there are four types of love. One of them is Stroje love. It's an empathetic type of love. It's a love that is a fondness. It's about for family members or people that you can relate to, people that are valuable and they're worthy of your love. It's a love that is about affection. It's about giving gifts. It's about loving people past the forces of jealousy and that smothering type love. But then you have that phileo love, which is a love that is between friends, very close friends and siblings, like me and Minister Sylvia, me and Minister Sheila, and Minister Margot, and Prophet Antoine, and Prophet, Pastor Troy, and Dr. Wright, and so many of us. That phileo, that duration love that's about companionship and friendship that teaches us how to deeply love people in a modern society that's teaching hatred. And so even a romantic love, which is the Eros love, it's a raw sexual type love that's based on pleasure, that's based on human kindness, that's based on animal instinct. It's an extreme and profound love. It's a raw passion. It's even something that can be transferred to a type of poisonous love that takes you between love and hate. This particular love is a selfish love. It justifies itself based off of selfishness. But the love of God that he gives us, that's unconditional love, can take the place of those loves that can switch over to hatred at any time. And so as we learn to love the people that call us names, as we learn to love the people that cause us the N-word or the B-word, as we learn to love people that misunderstand us, as we learn to love people that in no way or form understand the psychological and emotional scars that they're putting upon you throughout your life, that you love them, whether it's someone that you don't know or a loved one, you learn that as these things are happening in your lives, these socially transmitted diseases, these socially transmitted acts of hatred, these socially transmitted acts of nepotism, these socially transmitted acts of racism, these socially transmitted acts of racial hatred, these socially transmitted acts of prejudice, these socially transmitted smothering acts of suffocation that would try to cause you to hate someone because of their skin color, hate someone because of their religious background, hate someone because they married this person and they took you this place or they didn't take you another place or because you didn't want your parent or your loved one to marry them, that hate group, that particular gang, because you're wearing this color when they want you to wear this color, the enemy of your enemy, the friend of your friend, but you can't be that person's friend because you're their friend. All of these things of hatred that society and the enemy of our soul is perpetuating, that we could rise up and breathe and leap and say, God, I refuse to hate them. God, I refuse to look at their sex and their gender or their sexual preference and hate them. God, I refuse to hate them because of what they did in the Nazi camps or what they did in the confinement camps or what they did when they stole our land and called it America or what they did here and there. But God, I refuse to hate them because they misunderstand me because of my color. I was telling my sister Minister Sylvia that many people say, saying Black Lives Matter. What about All Lives Matter? Many people are saying, why are you all saying Black Lives Matter when you're killing one another? And I said to my sister, I said, Minister Sylvia, white people are killing white people. Check the statistics of serial killers and see how they've killed the masses and how they've gone into places and shot up 30, 40 different people at a time, 3 to 5 people at a time, and African Americans are killing people one by one. So if you check the statistics, you may find out that people of color are killing one another, yes. But you will also find out that Caucasian people are killing one another as well. And so as you check those statistics, you may be profoundly surprised because the numbers may not add up the way you think they should add up. And so therefore, when you check those numbers, the people that were killing one another, whether it was for sexual pleasure or whether it was for whatever reason, whether it was the Mansons or the Unabombers or whoever they were, you may find out that some people are known for killing in masses and some people are known for killing onesies and twosies. Not saying that any of that is okay, but I'm saying hate is hate. Evil is evil. And whether you do it onesies and twosies or you do it in the masses, you still are not God. You still have, as they said, circumvented the authority that God has set up. He has told us that he gives life. And he did when he breathed in us, when he redeemed us. Some of us don't understand that the enemy wants to kill you. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have abundant life. And so many of you, as a child, the enemy has tried to kill you emotionally and physically. Many of you, as an adult, the enemy has tried to kill you. He tried to abort your purpose and your destiny. Many of you don't understand the power that you have in your tongue. Are you willing to be the Elijah that killed the false prophet? Are you willing to be the Gideon who God gave grace to fulfill his mission in life? Are you willing to be the Moses, stuttered, but God gave him the ability to lead people out of bondage? Are you willing to be the David that wholeheartedly worshiped God? Are you willing to be the Jonah that even told God, I'm not going to do it, but try to run from the very call of God? Are you willing to do that which God has graced you to do, even though you tried to run from it, but God restored you? Are you willing to be the Jeremiah of God that practiced institutionalized systemic ageism against himself, but God had the grace to give you fire that shut up in your bones, so much so that you had to obey God? For Jeremiah 29:10, Amplified Version says, if I say I will not remember him or speak his name anymore, then my heart becomes burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot endure it nor contain it any longer, for I have heard the whispering and the defaming words of many, terror on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, all my familiar and trusted friends, those are watching for my fall, say perhaps he will be persuaded and deceived, and then he will overcome him and take our revenge on him. Are you willing to be a type of Abraham and Sarah that practice institutional and systemic ageism on yourself because God told them that they could conceive? And they said, oh, we're too old to conceive, carry, and birth a nation. Are you willing to, even after you've laughed and doubted God, to allow God to restore the hope in you so that you can remember that we still win? Are you willing to be Mary, the mother of Jesus, who in the Amplified Version said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Are you willing to be that fetus that jumps in Elizabeth's womb when the very mother of Jesus enters your presence? Are you leaping? Are you leaping in this type of mother's womb as God releases you to breathe out the new ministry that he's purposed you for? Are you willing to leap into life as God gives you the resurrecting power of his glory? Are you willing to be an intercessor for God? Are you willing to come out of those grave clothes, just like when Jesus told Lazarus, get out, come forth? Are you willing to allow God to use you? Because even in John 11, 38 and 44, it says, Then Jesus, the angry again, welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. This is the Message version. And it was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. And the sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus looked in her eyes. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. You got to know he listens. But on the account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Then he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out and wrapped from his head to his toe and over his face. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him loose. What kind of things are you wrestling with? What kind of things are you struggling with? Is it the jealousy or the wannabes on your job? Is it the jealousy or the wannabes of these so-called people that say that they're your parents' kids, but there's no evidence? Are you fighting with? What are you struggling with? Who are you fighting with? Who are you struggling with? Do you believe God? Do you believe what God has told you? Do you understand that even Jesus had to deal with the various institutionalized and systemic inadequacies and disparities that they tried to put upon him? Do you understand that Jesus, even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to deal with the evil of the devil that tried to discourage him, that tried to get him to sin, that tried to get him to sin upon his very father? So whether they're trying to get you to sin upon your very mother or father, these imps, these devils of nepotism and sexism and racism and prejudice and discrimination and right privilege and unmerited favor, it has to go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go back to those dry places, every witch, every warlock, every imp, every devil. Go back to where you come. We cast you out. We cast you down. We have to speak to those things. They have no authority over us. For in the name of Jesus, we speak that they must go back to those dry, go back to those deserts. They must die. They must starve. They must suffocate. Not the people, but the spirit of racism. Leap in this womb of destiny. Breathe. For God breathed into us, and we became living souls. So whether it's racism or sexism or prejudice or unjust firing and hiring practices that have come to try to destroy you, to annihilate the very purpose that God has created you for, that has tried to obliterate the call on your life. No demon, no witch, no warlock, no devil, no idolatry, nothing but ever is able to defeat God. Stand on the word of God. No natural or spiritual adultery, except for when you cheat on God, except for when you try to sabotage your own relationship with God, except when you try to murder your own relationship with God. Jonah tried it. Jeremiah tried it. But when you come to yourself like the prodigal son, when you become bankrupt in your own spirit, in your own knowing, in your own intelligence, you realize that according to John 10:10, the thief only comes in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have abundant life, and that more abundantly, in the full, in the overflow. So whether you're having a type of Job experience, or life experiences, or your family's being mean to you, or your friends are being mean to you, or you're having health issues, or you're having financial issues, or you're having reputation issues, allow God to resurrect and to revive you again so that no institutionalized or systemic Judas, that's right, we've got some assigned Judases in our lives. No assigned Gomar, yes. We have people and things that are going to cheat on us, that are going to practice adultery on us. We have to remember, according to Psalms 118:13-18, you pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of righteous, and the right hand of the Lord does violently. Violently, not like violent, but violently, as in I'm not saying it correctly, so I'm going to spell it for you. V-A-L-I-A-N-T-Y. So we know people are vigilant, and they're those that stay as valor men. And then 16 says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but I shall live and not die. This word says, but he has given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. So leap, breathe, live and not die. Many have been assigned to abort your destiny. Many have been assigned to try to murder your future. Many have been assigned to you as children and as adults. But you have to decide, I shall live and not die. Minister Sheila, I turn the program over to you, and I thank each and every one of you for your prayers and your support that you've given me all of my life. Minister Sheila.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle Elect. I just want to thank you for the message, for the words, and for a lesson on different kinds of love. And yet we all can witness that we have had life of different kind of love, some of jealousy, some of hatred, and some just because. Also, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for yet to let us all understand, no matter what the situation of life is, you need to turn it over to God and to ask him to lead the way, straighten it out, and to help you understand, because no matter what we're going through, the devil would also try to send you a corrupt love, to mistreat you, to misuse you, to just have you in the wrong way. But I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for the loving family that I've been blessed with and the people that I have been surrounded with, that I was able to pick out that trickery, crossways, love, that the devil is trying to misuse you, confuse you, and to try to turn you over to him. Which that part of my life is over with, and Lord, I thank you for straightening me out and understanding and loving me enough to let me see that your love is the best love. And through my life, I have learned that through you, I can understand and live a better life, and I know so many others. I just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. And I'm going to ask the pastor, the line's open, so if anyone online might have a testimony, remarks, or anything that they want to say, your time is now. The lines are open.
Good morning, saints of God. I'd like to start. This is Minister Margot. I just want to thank God for another day, for another Sunday. Thank God for the woman of God. I want to thank Apostle Elect for that mighty word on love and how important it is for us to know that there are different kinds of love, but to understand that the most important love in our lives is the one that we get from God, because we can only learn to love because he loved us. And we're blessed. We're blessed as a family for this legacy of love, the love of God that we know in our hearts how important it is and that it continues to grow. I just thank God for this ministry, and I thank God for loving me. Please pray for me in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
thank you,
Margo.
Thank you, Minister Margot McCoy, the three M's. I just want to say thank you and thank you. And thank God for blessing us to be all in the same family of love and joy and understanding. Is there anyone else? The lines are open. Well, I just want to thank all of you that are listening that might have a chance to talk, because I know I'd be that way too. Might be at work or in a situation where you might can't respond at the moment. But I thank you all for listening and for having words and just tuning into the program. I just want to say, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you. Because I know one thing, you have unconditional love. The love that we all need to act and to share and to have among each other. And to let us know that the love that the Father and the Son has for us is the best and the most magnificent love that there is. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the program. And just want to ask if you can tune in to us again for each and every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to Let's Talk with Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. And on Monday nights, Iron Sharp and Iron, which is on Blog Talk and also some Facebook some nights, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and with also Minister Brandon Kaiser. And on Friday nights, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas, and To the World, which is on Blog Talk and Facebook. And I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you, and to also help us all to understand, to ask God to teach us and to give us better knowledge of more ways and how to conduct ourselves in loving ourselves among each and every one. because you never know, just your coworker, your family member, your neighbor, or just someone you walking past that I heard on the radio. Just say hello, how you doing? May God bless you. Whether you know them or not, just put that prayer into their hearts and to let them know they are loved unconditionally through you and with you, because to share love and to give love, to get love. And the God of Father and the Son is the most magnificent feeling in life we can have. I just want to say thank you all, and to remember our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Just want to say thank you, and thank you. And remember, I love you, and I thank you for loving me.
Pardon me? Excuse me, Minister Sheila. Who is our speaker for tomorrow night? Minister Sylvia, can you tell us who our speaker is for tomorrow night? Because I know who it is. I just want the world to know.
Minister Margo McCore.
Woo-hoo! I thank you, and I thank you, and forgive me, and excuse me, not the three M's. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have a mighty full good time, and I want to thank you. Minister Sylvia Kaiser-Wright, do you have anything you would like to say?
I'm at work. I can't really speak right now. I'm in the patient's room.
I understand that one. I had them days too, but I thank you for the little bit you just said. But I thank you, and I thank you, and I'm asking you all to really tune in to tomorrow night, because yet I did not know, and please forgive me, because I've been running around, and just be honestly, I didn't even ask, and that was so wrong for me. But tomorrow night, Monday night, is the Mighty 3M, Minister Margo McCoy, on the speaker on the line with the beautiful message, because I know God have blessed her tongue with her voice and her knowledge, and I know the word will be mighty and powerful. I just want to say thank you, and forgive me, and I need to keep and step up on my enforcements of knowledge to get informed as I speak. I just want to say thank you, and thank back to you, Minister, Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, if anything that I might have missed again, please correct me and announce it.
No, I just want to do a quick prayer to close us out. Father God, I glorify you and I magnify you. I thank you for Minister Sheila, God, that you will bless her and make her the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, a lender and not a borrower. God, I thank you for Minister Sylvia, God, that you've given her favor on her job. God, that she is the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. God, I thank you for Minister Margo, God, that you've made her not only one of your spokesperson, God, she is your angel. She is your speaker. And on tomorrow night, God, the word that comes forth will deliver, will set free, and make us whole. God, we thank you for the word that you've placed in our belly. We thank you for every listener, that they will not only hear your word, but they will obey your word. Not only will they obey your word, God, but they will stand on your word. They will do your will. They will speak your word, God. They will declare your thoughts according to your will and according to your way, God. For she is the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, a lender and not a borrower. God, we thank you and we glorify you for every listener, the ones that are on the line that I don't know that they're on the line, the ones that are listening via the archives, however they're listening, God, we ask you to cause them to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and to walk in the agape love of God, for we shall leap and we shall breathe again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
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 Bye-bye. Bye.